You know, this past week have passed the pinnacle of modern-day Christian belief, at least those that profess Christianity, and that's Easter Sunday. And while many people might still observe this day with an intent of solemnity and reverence, the majority of people observe it, and it has, as it's grown into, a day of eggs, a day of bunnies, and maybe a day of just family fun. You know, Easter is the pinnacle, you could say, of mankind seeking after God on their own terms. On terms that have nothing, really, to do with God, at least God in the forefront of our minds. You know, it's what we do best as human beings, those without God's Spirit in our lives, without God intervening and directing our lives, is we find a shortcut. We find a path of least resistance in order, and this is important, in order to find the results that we desire. You know, mankind took Christ's death that day, that action, which is essential for the saving of mankind, and dulled its meaning. Mankind piggybacked paganism onto it to appeal to the masses, and they changed the intent of why Christ died for each one of us, making it easier to achieve the reasons why Christ died and the requirements for following after him. You know, it's this idea of, well, because Christ died for me, we just simply have to accept the fact that he did, and we will be forever saved. And we heard many inklings of that in years past, and we see what the true fruition of what happened when that small idea creeps in to your belief. You know, when you read and study the Bible, a starkly different understanding emerges of what Christ did and what is required of those who follow after Christ. You know, we aren't going to reach the kingdom of God and eternal life by simply taking one big, easy step. We reach the goal by spending our entire lives taking small steps. Each step deliberately proving to God that we have committed ourselves, we have committed our lives to his way of life, specifically, and not to ours. You know, God doesn't want, and he's not calling a family full of deathbed Christians, confessional Christians, people who have lived their lives in their own means, in their own ideas, until it seemed more convenient to have God enter their lives. That's not the type of person. That's not the type of family God is building up. In fact, Christ laid out the principle for this quite clearly in Luke 16. Luke 16, and verse, starting at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's the key. We cannot serve ourselves, worldly things, and serve God as the second choice. You know, it's not in man's nature, maybe, to focus on the small steps in achieving a greater goal, nor always in the steps that are harder to take. You know, we will always tend towards the easiest paths. We don't want to take small steps. We want to run. We want to get there quickly and finish. And while that's not necessarily bad, wanting to finish, we have to do it with perseverance. We have to do it with tenacity to keep and not forget what God has laid out before us as a requirement. But, you know, that attitude of trying to take a shortcut really might not be what God wants out of each and every one of us. And we are, after all, brethren, in this life being trained for jobs, for a greater purpose within God's kingdom. And that takes trials, that takes patience, that takes work. You know, Paul hinted at this, and one of the reasons why we must diligently be following and drawing closer constantly to God. 1 Corinthians 6. and starting in verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against one another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You know, with so great an opportunity before us, and also is imperative that there's a huge responsibility in us, each of us training for God's kingdom. You know, we cannot afford to gloss over the requirements of our calling. We cannot build our foundations based upon shortcuts, based upon our own interpretations, based upon easy ways to achieve what we think is the end result of those actions. You know, when we do, we're treading down paths that lead to our own pleasures, not to God's will. We're not fulfilling that will. You know, seemingly insignificant yet methodical steps towards God's goals will, though, those will lead us to eternal life. And even the natural world exemplifies these traits that God wants each and every one of us to learn from. In Proverbs 30 and verse 24, God has instilled into the DNA of animals traits that mankind would do well to learn from and to exemplify. Proverbs 30 and verse, starting in verse 24, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, and yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. Small, insignificant little animals achieve great things. And some of those traits, some of those things of it's even in the basic foundation, the instincts of animals, mankind fails to understand the importance of small, methodical, and consistent steps. You know, James points out how small actions can lead to huge changes. He states in James 3, starting verse 4, I'll summarize that a small rudder steers a huge ship. And he equates that to our tongue, leading us sometimes to disaster and sometimes to profit. Those small things, something so insignificant as the muscle of our mouth, can show our attitude. And our attitude is constantly and consistently revealed through what we say. It drives us, and it shows what we are being driven, or how we're being driven towards our ultimate goal. Is it to exemplify and add to and follow after the will of God, or is it to follow after our own desires, our own hearts? You know, Moses exemplified how this can affect our lives. Numbers 20 and verse 10. Numbers 20, and starting in verse 10, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water to you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." You know, Moses parted the Red Sea. He caused plagues through God's power to come upon Egypt, and he saw God. He looked upon God, and he lived. And after 40 years of leading God's people through the wilderness, it was that one small action, that one intent, that bad step that he took when he struck that rock, that led him to lose a physical promise that he had spent his lifetime, most half of his lifetime, leading these people. It caused him to not be able to enter into the promised land with the rest of Israel, just because of that one small thing. Now we read about Moses in Hebrews 11. We know how his story progresses, that he reached his ultimate goal, that he is one of the faithful, and that he will be in the kingdom of God. But you know, that was a lesson to Moses, that his intents, those small things, can and do affect our path and how we follow after God. And importantly, that's a lesson for you and I, brethren. Even a small step in the wrong direction will eventually, and always with great subtlety, lead us away from God. Every action we take in life has two possible outcomes. It leads us towards God, or it leads us away. So brethren, be vigilant then, especially in this season, that our next step leads towards God.